It is always exciting when people hear the call that God has put in their life. And just so everybody knows, we're all called to God's kingdom work at some level, right? And but I just felt like I really wanted to honor them because they make me look good, and with their work, and that's a lot of work, but I am privileged to serve alongside of them. And like I said, even though they don't carry credentials, they are pastoring our kids and our teenagers and doing a fabulous job. So thank you, Utterbacks and Perkins. You guys are amazing. So before we jump, I promised a jumper video a friend of mine made this week for the sermon series. So Corey, go ahead and play that wonderful bean footage. Wasn't that cool? I'm not that cool to do that kind of stuff. I have a friend that did it. So, okay, we're going to dive in, but we're going to dive in starting in prayer. Will everybody just bow your heads with me and let's just pray for this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, your son, I thank you for you having given us your word to guide us, to correct and to comfort us. And I believe that your word is life and truth to our spirit, and I pray that that we receive the power of your written word in our lives today. Lord, I know you know our situations, and we just sang you are good, and you are so good to us, and you know our situations. And Lord, I pray that everyone that's here today, that we would have open minds and open hearts to receive what you have for us in your word today, and that we would leave differently than when we came in. And we just pray this in your precious and holy son, Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. So like I said, today we're starting a series called Facing the Giants. And I want to encourage you, don't miss a week. There's going to be some great stuff that we're going to be talking about and exploring in God's word over the next few weeks. And we're going to be talking, obviously, about giants. We all face them, right? We all face them. We're all taunted by them. We're all chased by them. We all deal with them. They all come in different shapes and sizes and names. What's yours? Is it lack? Is it depression, fear, stress, procrastination, sin of addiction, strife, insecurity, discouragement, pride, sickness? What is it? What's yours? We all face them. And today is family service, which I love family service because we get all of our family up here from the youngest to the oldest. And typically we do something every family service. We do Bible Head Challenge, right? And then we get the kids involved and some of you adults involved. We're going to do it a little differently today because we're all in one chapter of scripture throughout it. Steve's going to help me out, and we're going to let different people volunteer to read a passage of scripture right where you are. The only thing is you get to use a microphone. And so my wonderful helper, Steve, is going to bring the microphone to you guys to read scripture. And yes, you still have candy, and yes, adults, you still get some too. So we're gonna go kids and teenagers and adults alike and share. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is one of my favorite stories in scripture. And I don't even like using the word story, because story is one of those things that is It's like it can be fake or it can be fictional. These are all true stories, but they're stories. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, and if you're a note taker, we're going to talk about these giants and this particular giant that we're going to read about in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Number one is this is a battle for dominance. When we deal with giants, these are a battle for dominance. So I'm going to have, I would invite somebody to read. I don't care who it is. First of all, you got to be able to read loud and clear. Someone volunteer. All right, we got Skylar in the back. First Sam, here's what we're going to read. I want you to read verses 8 and 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 8 and 9. So if I have you stand up, read it really loud. You'll have a microphone.
Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not the Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, he will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, You will become our subjects and serve us."
So there's the battle of dominance, right? You come and fight me, and if you kill me, we will be your slaves, we'll be your servants. But if I kill your champion, then you become our subjects and our servants. The goal of this giant in our life is to dominate you and make you its slave. It wants control. Right? Whatever that giant is in your life, its goal is to enslave you to fear, to slave you to whatever it is. Maybe you're a slave to alcohol. Maybe you're a slave to discouragement. Whatever it is, the goal of this giant is control and dominance in your life. You picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? So if you don't defeat it and kill it, it will haunt you every step of your life. Number two, ignoring the problem won't make it go away. It won't make it go away. There is this myth that some of us, unfortunately, have been believing, and that is, if I ignore it, it will go away. Can I just tell you that that's not how it works, right? It will not work if you ignore it. Goliath came out every single day for 40 days, right? Every single day, bellowing out across the valley, and he is just challenging them and harassing and taunting the Israelites, and the armies of Israel kept ignoring it, refusing to do anything about it. They were trapped in fear, right? Goliath is this tall, enormous, scary-looking dude, and he's got, they said the head of his spear, scripture says, was 8 shekels. That's like, or three shekels, 6 shekels? I don't remember what it was, but it's the equivalent of 8 pounds, a spearhead. 8 pounds, chucking that thing. I mean, just being hit by that would give you a major headache, right? But he was coming out and taunting and harassing them, and the Israelites kept ignoring it, hoping that he would just get tired and go away. Here's the thing for us, church, is we must be willing to face the giant and deal with it. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, we got to face it and deal with it. Saul and his armies of Israel were hoping, like I said, that the Philistines would just give up and go home. But that wasn't the case. We're going to read a little bit here more. I need another adult to stand and read. Who is it going to be? Who are we going to do? Who is it? Who are you pointing at, Alan? Your mom? Well, thank you, Carrie, for volunteering. This is how it's going to work today. So 17 through 20. Come on to Carrie Van Dyke right here. She is amazing. Thank you for volunteering your mom to do this. Go ahead and stand up, Carrie. Alan is now grounded. Carrie, you got to stand up and read for us. There we go. Read loud. You're a teacher. This is all good.
Jesse said to his son David, "Take ephah."
This ephah.
"Of roasted grain and these ten loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. 9:20?
Yep, please.
Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed.
Thank you. Is that it?
No.
Oh, finish. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you finish.
No, I don't have it.
He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry.
There we go. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Alan, for volunteering your mom. Sorry that you're grounded now. But that passage of scripture brings us to number 3 point. Obedience to the Father will position us for victory. Obedience to the Father will position us to victory. Had David ignored his father, had David just said, the old man is crazy, I don't want to bring wheat and cheese to the battlefield, I'd much rather be, if he would have disobeyed his father, most likely Israel would have been defeated. Think about it for a second. They would have been, most likely. The mundane things don't seem to make sense to us sometimes, but here's the thing, okay? You want to be, you've got David sitting here, and I could imagine this because I'm a David by name, and I could imagine him thinking that the old man wants me to be a delivery boy. David was the youngest of his brothers, the only one that wasn't at battle, according to scripture. He's sitting there going, you want me to be a delivery boy? Can't one of the servants take this stuff to them? Can't you call Uber Eats? So, you know, something, it's the mundane. I could imagine that David is going, this is the stupidest thing ever. Okay, here's the thing. And as adults, we can answer this, and our students can answer this. Have you ever been asked by your parents or somebody in authority to do something that just seemed silly and you didn't see the purpose of it? Show the hands. We all have, right? We've all had our parents do that. We've all had our employers do that. All these things that happen, but it's the mundane things that we get caught up, and it doesn't necessarily make sense, right? Why would Jesse ask David to go to the battlefield to bring cheese and bread? They make it grilled cheese sandwiches, maybe. I don't know. But I can imagine that David going, this is stupid. I don't see the purpose of this. But it's all in the big picture, right? And sometimes most times when it comes to the things of God, we don't get to see the big picture. We get to see this little bit of much of the picture, and we're going, okay, God, why are you asking me to do this? God, why? And we get caught up and they don't make sense. So let me ask this question to us this morning. What do you know that you are supposed to be doing that you are not? What do you know that you are supposed to be doing that you're not? And here I would give this thought to that. Because all of us are guilty of this at some point, right? All of us are. I can tell you that I knew that I was supposed to be done with youth ministry in Libby 2 years before I went. 2 years. I wrestled God. I said, I don't want to work with adults. Adults don't learn. They don't grow. They don't care. I didn't want to. That's not true, but that was my perspective. I liked teenagers because teenagers were like wet cement, and they could be molded and be moved around, and they could be, right? And adults, sometimes we're hardened cement, and sometimes God has to take a jackhammer to us and loosen us up to be used, right? Would we agree with that, adults? Some of you are like, ooh, you're stepping on toes, Pastor. But that's some of, myself included, right? Sometimes we wrestle with these things, and something that may appear to be absolutely unrelated to the giant in your life is what possibly could be setting you up and positioning you for victory in that, because we don't see the big picture. You following me? Which brings us to number 4, ignore the opinions of doubters. I want a teenager to read. Where's Vicky? Vicky, I'll get him. I'll get another one. Vicky. Stand up. Steve's got a microphone. Vicky, I want you to read here's what we're going to do. You're going to read verse 28, and then we're going to have Craigie read verse 33, okay? So go ahead and read it loud. Verse 28 of chapter 17. Go ahead, Vicky.
David's older brother, Elijah.
Got to get the mic up there.
Hello.
Hello.
David's older brother, Elijah, heard him speaking with the men. So Elijah became very angry with him.
Eliab, yep.
Why have you come down here? Who is taking care of the sheep in the desert for you? I know how proud you are. I know how evil your heart is. The only reason you came down here was to watch the battle.
Okay, watch the battle. Okay, Craig, read verse 17. And Alan, you look up verse 43. Right? Stand up, Craig, and read it loud, pal.
He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter and...
No, is that verse 33?
33, oh.
Chapter 17, verse 33.
Saul replied, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has a warrior from his youth."
Okay. And then Alan, up here, verse 43. Chapter 17, verse 43. Stand up, big boy.
He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Keep going. Verse 4, actually, verse 44, I'm sorry.
"Oh, come here," he said, "and I will give you flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
Sweet. So those passages of scripture is pointing out to the fact that we need to ignore the doubters in our life, okay? Students, I need you to hear me for a second. I want you to really listen to this, okay? Your guarantee for success, your guarantee of success is not based on what others think of you or say about you. Your guarantee of success is what your Heavenly Father says about you. You hear me? This goes for all of us, but students, I want you to hear this, the youngest to the smallest. No matter what anybody says about you, it doesn't matter to your success. What matters is what God says about you. You picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. He has crowned each one of you in this room a champion, and I would encourage you to live and act like it. You are a champion. What is the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God telling you to do in your life today? Whatever it is, there's a purpose for that. You hearing me? So you are a champion. I want you guys to embrace that, live and act like it. Number 5, the battle we are facing today is preparation for what may come tomorrow. Check out what David said in 1 Samuel 36, 17, 36 through 37. I'm going to read this one really quick. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." That sounds like David's being a little indignant right now, don't you think? He's like, man, what God has prepared me in my past with the lion and the bear is preparing me for what's coming up in the future, which was facing David, or the Goliath, David facing Goliath. And remember what James chapter 1 verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, right? We need to walk through, we need to be ready for the next attack in our life. Because I'm going to tell you this, and you guys already know, but I'm going to tell you a secret. You ready? If you're ready, say, oh yeah. Here's the secret. The devil is not ever going to stop attacking you. He's not. So you need to, if you've just come through an attack, you need to be prepared for the next one. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to understand who you are in Christ. Right? You are more than conquerors, the Word of God says. More than conquerors. You are his masterpiece. You are more than conquerors. Why did David choose 5 smooth stones? Anybody ever wonder that question? Why did he choose 5? Any ideas? You have an idea, Marcus? No? Okay. Ryan, you have an idea? Why did he choose 5 stones?
Mm-hmm.
That could be. It could be. How many know that Goliath had brothers? Do you know how many brothers? Four brothers, right? I think he was preparing for an attack. I think he was preparing. Now, that's out of the book of Dave, not the book of God. But I think about that, right? I think about that. And so where's my buddy Duke? Where you at, Duke? There you are. You ready to read? Duke's up here, Steve. I want you to read two verses. Verses 38 and 39.
When Saul dressed David in his own tunic, he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them.
Sweet. Thank you. Thank you. I need, Big Chris, can you do me a favor? Can you get me somebody's, there's a black coat on the left that's been there for a couple weeks. Can you grab it for me and bring it here? Okay. And Duke, I'm going to have you come up for me really quick. I'm going to have you help me illustrate something. As they're coming, I missed a passage of scripture that I wanted to share about the five smooth stones. In 2 Samuel 21, verse 22 says, "These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hands of his servants." So King David not only killed Goliath, but killed his four brothers. Right? He hunted them down and killed them. So just a thing. Okay, Duke, you get to be David, right? Now, he was just talking about Saul putting on his tunic and his armor and all that stuff, right? And David was a smaller in stature guy. Now, I don't have armor and stuff, but I don't know whose coat this is, but here, put that on. Okay? This is the equivalent of David putting on Saul's armor, right? Do you think that you could go and play baseball in that coat?
No.
No, you think you could do anything good in that coat? No, right? So he didn't have, he dressed him up in that stuff, and David's like, "Man, that's not gonna work for me," right? It's too big, it's too cumbersome. Cool, give a round of applause to Duke. So we'll put that back out there in a second. And here's the thing, this is number six. This is what that passage of scripture that Duke just read is: a public victory is the result of private discipline. A public victory is the result of private discipline. David was not a novice with a slingshot. He was very accomplished with the slingshot. Why? Practice. He was protecting the sheep, and he killed a bear, and he killed a lion. He probably killed wolves and anything else. He probably thumped some people upside the head. They were trying to steal sheep. We don't know all the details of that, but he was not a novice. He was not a rookie with a slingshot, right? Our private practice, you had to hear me, everybody. Our private practice time will determine our public success or failure. Our private practice time is being in the Word of God and being in a prayer time with our Heavenly Father. That's our private practice time. You picking up what I'm throwing down? We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be disciplined in the Word of God. We need to be disciplined in a quiet time. We need to be skilled, right? A disciplined and skilled life will be the path for victory to come in our lives. Number seven. We must declare victory. I need another adult to read. Adult. We got one? Jeff, right here. Thank you, Jeff. Read verses 45 through 47.
Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Here's the thing that popped into my mind after reading that passage of scripture is too many people talk about the problem way more than they should and not talk about the answer, right? We focus on the problem. We talk about the problem until it's going to beat us to death, but we don't talk about the answer. Let me put it this way. How many times do we get faced with giants and we get faced with sickness, we get faced with things, and the last thing that we do is we pray, right? And we just talk about the problem. Oh, this is the problem. I got this. I'm in debt up to here, and I've got this problem, and I got this, and my kids won't ever listen, and my parents won't listen, and my teacher hates kids, and whatever the scenario is, and we talk about the problem, but we don't talk about the answer, right? We all know the principle that whatever gets our attention the most gets bigger, right? We should start talking about the answer, and the answer is who? Jesus is the answer. You guys remember Jericho? What were they supposed to do in Jericho? They were supposed to walk around, right? 13 times they walked around the city silent. 13 times. They didn't say a word. And then at the trumpet sound, they were supposed to shout, right? Shout that the Lord has given us the city. That's what they were shouting. Could you imagine 3 million people walking around a city, quiet? That'd be intimidating enough. But then on the final time that they go around, the sixth day, they shout, the Lord has given us the city. That'd make your belly button pucker, I think, right? That would be scary, right? But they shouted the answer, right? What you hear the most will determine your beliefs and establish your faith. What you hear the most will determine your beliefs and establish your faith. So if you are always hearing negative, if you are always in a spot where it's all you hear is negative, or maybe you're the one that's declaring the negative all the time, you are determining what the outcome is going to be. You won't have victory. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Let's do this. I'm going off my notes. I want everybody to say with me, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Say it again.
I'm a winner.
Say it again.
I'm a winner.
I can't hear you.
I'm a winner.
One more time, just like that.
I'm a winner.
Yes, right. Good job. You're a winner. David proclaimed, check this out. You can read this passage of scripture, the first Samuel 17 again if you want. But check this out. David proclaimed God as his answer 9 times in this message, in this story. 9 times. He only referred to Goliath twice. 9 times. It sounds like to me that David knew who the answer was. He said that he has defied the armies of Israel, the living God. He defied the living God. He defied the living God, right? He knew who the answer was. He came in already knowing that he was going to win because he knew the answer. You following me this morning? He knew the answer. David declared God's word over the situation. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Right? That doesn't necessarily mean that if you could believe all, then you go tell whatever mountain over here to go jump in a lake. But what he's saying is if you've got that's the kind of faith that you need to have. You need to have, and faith of a mustard seed. right? I think that's really, really, really small. At that time, it was the smallest seed that they had. I don't think it's that nowadays. I think there's smaller seeds. But at that point in their context, that's what it is. But here's the thing. If you noticed in this, it leads to number 8, that we do our part and trust God to do his part, right? Where's Gabby? You ready to read, girl? Okay, Gabby, I want you to read verses 48 and 49. Check this out.
As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground.
Boom shakalaka, right? David declared that the battle is the Lord's, right? But by declaring that, if he just declared it, he just said that the battle's the Lord's and expected God to do it all, what do you think would have happened? Well, I would think that we have to do our part, right? We have to. Now, God could very easily, and has proven it many, many times in the Old Testament, that he didn't. But it took David acting on his faith, right? You following that? You seeing that? Okay, here's what happened, is the action, right? He declared, the battle is the Lord's, and then he slung the rock. Action triggered his faith. Following me? Action triggers faith. What is faith? Faith is acting on what you believe. It is acting on what you believe. Too many people want God to do it all and not have to do anything. But did you notice that, what David did? It says that David ran at the giant. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. David ran at the giant. He put his faith into action. Some of us need to grab a hold of this morning, and I don't know who it is, but we have to act. David ran at the giant. David put his faith into action because he already knew that the battle belonged to the Lord. Here's the thing. How many of you read the end of this book? How many have read this book? How many read the end? Are you the type of person that reads the first chapter and then the last chapter and then you've read your book? All right. We know that we win, right? The battle is the Lord. The battle's already won. But we live our life like it isn't the truth. And these circumstances, these giants kick us in the teeth and kick us down and keep us down. And we're like, oh me, oh my, oh bother. We got the Eeyore syndrome. And we struggle with that. But the battle belongs to the Lord this morning. Whatever it is that you're going through, if David doesn't throw the rock, it's game over. It's game over. When we run at the thing that we fear the most, I believe wholeheartedly, and God is illustrating this in this story, that God is going to step in. We have to do our part. We have to put our faith into action. Faith is an action word, which brings us to number 9. We must conquer the giants in order to reach our ultimate destiny. We must be willing to fight the battles to arrive at our destination. What was God's ultimate plan, right? What was God's ultimate plan in this story? In this story of David? Anybody know? What was God's ultimate plan? Okay. Yes. But the ultimate plan for David in God's eyes was what? Say that again.
King.
To become king. David, God's plan was for David to be king. We got to understand that David's a boy. But at this point, Saul has already anointed him as king. You know the story? He's already been anointed as king. He's already been anointed. He didn't have the title yet. He didn't have the position yet. He didn't have the respect yet. He didn't have even the support. But here's the deal. He still acted like a conquering king. He still acted like a conquering king. He wasn't in place yet. And we know the story. Saul gets all crazy, starts chucking spears at him and all this other stuff later on. But he's already been anointed. That was God's ultimate plan. David was already living out what his destiny was supposed to be. He was putting it into action, right? But here's the deal. I don't know how to get this across to us. Let me just ask you this question. Again, rhetorical. I want you just to think about it. What has God told you to do? What has God told you to do? The destiny for your life. What has God told you to do that maybe you're holding out on? Maybe you're acting in fear. Can I just encourage us this morning to start fulfilling the role before you ever receive the title? Maybe it's you want to be the president of your company someday. If that's the case, start thinking and acting like it today. Start developing your leadership skills. Start developing these things. Maybe you want to be in ministry. I hope. Because ministry isn't just standing up here, right? This is the whole point of this ministry fair, is for us to use our God-given gifts for the kingdom of God. And I'm excited to see what God is calling us to do. Maybe it's to be in ministry. Don't wait for the title, because here's the thing that I know about titles. It's the lowest form of leadership there is. The greatest leaders lead without a title. They lead without one. They lead by walking things out. I found this quote a long time ago that says, my present condition is a result of my past disciplines. Today I choose my future. Today I choose my future. So let me wrap this up as the worship team is coming. Here's the thing that we need to grab a hold of this morning is, you're not too old to grab a hold of your future. You're not too old. I was listening to this preacher, Charity, was listening to, and she was talking about being on this airplane ride, and she's a public speaker. She travels all over the world, and she was tired. She wanted to put her earbuds in, and she wanted to just be ignored and just have quiet time and rest. And this little, nobody was sitting next to her, and it was one of these small planes where there's one row on this side and two on this side that you're just in a glorified tube, right, with wings. And she was sharing the thing, and she's like, there was nobody sitting there, and she found herself praying that nobody would sit next to her. Please, because this lady's a little bit bigger in stature. And she was sitting there, and then here comes, right before they're putting the door up, this little old lady has helped in, and she's like, I know that that lady's going to sit next to me. And I know that this lady is going to want to talk to me. And sure enough, she sits next to her, and they start. She's talking to her, so she pulls her earbud out and she's listening and answering her questions. And then she puts her earbud back in, and then the lady taps her again. She pulls back and forth. The story ends up being that this lady is 90 years old and headed to India for the 15th time since she was 65. To go do missions, to go work in an orphanage, 90 years old, 15th time to India. And she shared her story basically in a nutshell, that she was married, she had kids, so all this thing. Her husband went away, went to be with the Lord. And she's left there, and she's like, okay, what do I do, Lord? What do I do with the rest of my life? And he called her to missions. 90 years old, and she's jumping on a plane to go to India to share Jesus. I tell that story for this purpose, is that you're never too old to be used by God. You hearing me? You are a child of God. All of heaven's resources are behind you. Whatever age you are, you could be in kindergarten and God can use you. You can be 90 years old and God can use you. You have all the resources of heaven behind you. The God that delivered David and Gideon is the same God that will deliver you from your giants. The same God. Because we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So I want us to say that together because I don't think we're all convinced. We serve a God that is the same. One more time. And forever, forever. And like we said just a few minutes ago, you are a winner, right? You are a winner. And can I just challenge us? Can I just encourage us greatly to start acting like it, start talking like it, and start living like it? And more importantly, start thinking like it. Because it all starts right here. It all starts right here, right? Whatever we give the most attention to in our thoughts becomes reality, right? In Proverbs, it says, so a man thinks he is. Our thoughts are empowering, are very, very empowering. Next week, we are going to start in chapter or part two called God, but. How many times have we said that? God, but this, right? So we're going to go. I want to encourage you to not miss next week. If you stand with me, let's close in prayer. We're going to get to the ministry fair. There's all kinds of candy in there. Kids, don't forget, kids downstairs. Miss Callie and her team have got all kinds of snacks and treats for you. You guys can go. We're going to end in the song. Here we go.